all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Where it's another beautiful morning up north. Nice to have you along in the second hour of Up North News Radio for this Friday, June 9th. Coming up later in this hour, we're going to be talking about a head-spinning week for CNN after a major expose came out last weekend about its leader, who is now stepping down. So we'll talk to Mark Jacob about that. Todd Alba before the hour is out. And when Todd Alba joins us at 7:50, we will again give away Brewers tickets to Saturday afternoon, tomorrow afternoon's game against the Oakland A's. So stick around for that coming up at 7:50. But first, we start right away with our guest for this hour, State Assembly Representative Melissa Ratcliffe from Cottage Grove, and we're going to talk about the efforts to expand broadband in Wisconsin, high-speed internet, and one of the more unusual twists and turns that came in that effort a few days back. Representative Ratcliffe, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me. It's a beautiful day.
It is. It's so nice to have you here as well to talk. We're going to, of course, get into broadband. The main news of the day from a state political perspective is that yesterday, Governor Tony Evers, State Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, Senate Republican Leader Devin Lemahue appear to have reached a comprehensive agreement, not just on revenue sharing, which is the state revenue that goes to cities, counties, towns, villages, but also money that goes to schools. This agreement covers both public schools and voucher schools. It gets into, you know, mental health care. It gets into all kinds of areas. I know that everybody's still trying to digest the details. What was your own first impression upon hearing that this kind of a comprehensive agreement had been reached between Governor Evers and the Republican leaders?
Yeah, it's interesting. Certainly, we know that our communities need more funding, and definitely our schools do. Special education has been not funded at the capacity where it needs to be at all. So that part of it is great. But what we have learned is the policy issues have stayed in it as well. And that's where I have a lot of concerns, and my colleagues do as well. Like the communities can't do advisory referenda. The local health officer doesn't have the capacity that they need to shut down a business if there's health issues. EMS staffing reductions, rather than making it providing more funding for our communities to staff their EMS, their ambulances, they're making it so, oh, you don't need to have everything in the ambulance anymore. So like those little things is really concerning yet. So we're waiting for the actual bill to be sent to us so that we can review it more.
It was, should we say, obvious that when Governor Evers got elected, Republicans were working so hard, hoping that Tim Michels would get elected and then they could just push through everything that they wanted. But as soon as Evers won, it seemed pretty clear, much like when Republicans took the House of Representatives and would have to work with President Biden, that these final packages were not going to be something that anybody loved, you know, by any sense. I've certainly in the last hour expressed some pretty strong feelings of all the extra tax money that's going into voucher schools, for example. But in the end, once everybody looks at everything, do we see either the capacity for major changes yet, or just that a lot of folks are going to have to, you know, plug their nose and cast a vote? Where do you think this is going to come down?
We'll see. I don't know yet. Mm-hmm. I certainly don't like the plugging your nose and voting for something, right? It's a balance with everything in government. So that's why we need to take a look at the language in the bill. But we certainly need more funding for our communities. I've heard it from my district, in Dane County here, and at local government committee that I'm on, we had a public hearing on this bill, and we had a lot of town folks, town board members come out and say how they really need the funding. They've been starved for so long. They've cut the fat from everything possible, and they're struggling. And even the bill at that time that had the funding from the Republicans, they said wasn't enough for them to fix all the issues that they have, but they need something, they said. So Evers' budget included a lot more than what's in AB 245, this shared revenue bill. And basically, our communities are saying, we need something, even though it's not enough, we'll take it. But they need more. And that's really concerning, too, that we're not providing them with what they need to help their communities.
Though it does give you what I've really seen since the Joint Finance Committee eliminated so much of what Governor Evers proposed, what it has offered up is just a classic compare and contrast. You're able to go out there to your constituents and say, here is what the governor proposed. Here is what Republicans cut. And so it at least you have that. You have a column A and a column B that you can show folks back home, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
it's definitely black and white, like day and night. It's so different.
Exactly. And so we're going to talk more about that after the break, and we'll get an update from Weatherology. We're going to talk to Representative Melissa Ratcliffe and switch over to broadband, high-speed internet, and expanding that in Wisconsin. And the change that came with what Republicans decided they wanted to do to put up state money, as Governor Evers has been doing, but with President Biden putting up money as well, Republicans have decided that, I guess, the president is their new bestie when it comes to expanding broadband. We'll ask Representative Ratcliffe about that and much more coming up here on Up North News Radio. You can find all of what we do over at upnorthnewswi.com. Sign up for our newsletter there as well. We'll be back in just a bit. You're Up North.
Of stocking was looked on as something shocking, but now God knows anything goes.
We're doing a few Cole Porter tunes today on the anniversary of his birth. Time for our Weatherology update heading into the weekend. Meteorologist Michael Cairo joins us now to tell us all about what we can expect. Michael, nice to have you here. How's Wisconsin looking for the weekend?
Well, another nice one out there for today, at least. It's going to be kind of touch and go as far as those outdoor plans for your weekend. We are expecting that cold frontal boundary to work in from the northwest later on tonight into Saturday, bringing some scattered shower and storm activity there, especially Saturday and into your Saturday night time frame. The trend, though, has been to kick out that rain a bit quicker into the day on Sunday. So outside of a few spotty morning showers there for southern Wisconsin on Sunday, I think much of the remainder of the state will dry things out there for your Sunday afternoon time frame. So salvaging a dry day for the most part on Sunday, especially for today, still looking very nice statewide with ample amounts of sunshine. High temperatures working up into the lower 80s for most locations, but still sticking closer to the upper range of the 70s in areas right along the Lake Michigan shoreline. And likewise, far northern portions of the state, areas like Rhineland, are sticking closer to the upper 70s. Already for after midnight for tonight, especially that chance for at least a few isolated showers and storms in areas like Baldwin over to near Amory and likewise up to near Park Falls, but still the majority of the state staying dry for tonight. Overnight lows dropping back into the low to mid 50s in the north, some lower 60s across La Crosse down to near Madison and Milwaukee for tonight. And then for your Saturday, I think we'll sneak by with a dry afternoon time frame for Madison over to near Waukesha as well as Milwaukee, but much of the remainder of the state contending with those scattered showers and storms. Definitely could use the rain across the region, seeing some pretty good rainfall deficits since the beginning of May. Almost a 2 inches below normal rainfall so far has been measured for Wausau and the same for Eau Claire. So again, some rainfall in the forecast. I don't think we'll completely make up that deficit, but we could pick up around a half inch of rainfall there for Eau Claire, maybe as much as 3/4 of an inch of rain for Wausau throughout the day on Saturday. And for Saturday night, still expecting numerous showers and storms as well. But again, by the time we get to your Sunday, any lingering showers wrapping up early in the day for the southeastern half of the state, and then a dry afternoon in stores statewide. Trending cooler behind that cold front on Sunday, only expecting 60s for high temperatures for Wisconsin Rapids, mid-60s for Wausau as well as Oshkosh, but we could approach that 70-degree mark into western portions of the state.
Very nice, especially if we can avoid that D-word drought after some rain this weekend. We'll see how that goes. Michael Cairo, thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
You too. Have a good one.
All right. Temperatures across Wisconsin right now include 51 degrees here on Lake Wissota. Stevens Point coming in at 53. River Falls, 55. New London, 57 degrees. Reedsburg's at 48. And up in Crandon, 51 degrees. The Brewers and Orioles wrapped up a three-game series yesterday afternoon. The Brewers had a 3-0 lead through six innings, and then the bullpen threw it all away. The Orioles scoring in the seventh, eighth, and ninth innings to win that game 6-3 and avoid a sweep. Colin Ray had a great starting performance, five shutout innings, struck out eight, allowed just three hits and one walk. Now the Oakland A's come to town for three starting tonight. Adrian Hauser will be on the mound. And then tomorrow afternoon, the game is at 3:10, Sunday at 1:10. Sunday's 3:10 game, we have tickets to give away, two great club seat tickets, and we will do that around 7:50. And again, the Brewers head off to Minnesota for games against the Twins Tuesday night and Wednesday afternoon. Catch all that in the Fox Valley on Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 FM and 1100 AM, or News from the Center and Richland Center, 107.7 FM, 1450 AM. Continuing our conversation now with State Representative Melissa Ratcliffe, and let's switch now to getting broadband expanded in Wisconsin. And the thing that should have always been a state, federal, local partnership. It always works best, like so many things, when there's a partnership going on. But what is it that Republicans have done recently that kind of puts a kink in that partnership between federal dollars and a state investment?
Yes, and you've alluded to it as well today. They took out all the funding that Governor Evers had put in his budget. So currently, the upcoming budget, there's $0 for broadband expansion in the Republicans' budget, which is very concerning, considering Governor Evers had put in $750 million for expansion of broadband.
Again, I want to make sure that I was so glad that the representative wanted to come on and talk about this, because it's one of those where you say, did I read that correctly? Governor Evers, along with everything that's been done already in the state, wanted to put in another $750 million in this budget, along with the federal investment, all of which would have helped. And the Republicans in the Joint Finance Committee actually turned that $750 million state investment to $0. I didn't read that wrong.
Nope, zero. Why invest in broadband, basically, is the message Republicans are sending. Because the federal government from the IRA, we're going to be getting about $1 billion, right? But you're right. We need to have this partnership, state dollars, federal dollars, and local communities that know that it's so important for their residents to have access to it. We could really ramp up our expansion of broadband throughout our state. We're behind other states. And it hurts our state from getting people to come here, from businesses to come here. Broadband impacts so many different facets of our life, from employment, schooling, healthcare, mental health care. Since so many clinics are closing, a lot of people do telehealth now. But if you can't get on the internet, how are you going to see your doctor? Also, property values increase when a house residence has access to broadband. So there's an equitable divide happening when we can't expand broadband throughout our state.
But it seems to have been a common theme in my discussions with legislators lately, is that Wisconsin has either fallen behind, is falling behind in this metric. We have spoken about, you know, job creation, and Republicans rejecting an expansion of the College of Engineering at the UW in the order of paid family leave, affordable child care, the things that would help Wisconsin compete for business. It's a head scratcher. I keep using that phrase because the business community wants the College of Engineering, but the Republicans said no. The business community wants and needs high-speed internet. And again, Republicans said, no, it's tough to get a bead on what Republicans are for that's good for job growth and business, or is it just going to be corporate tax cuts and that's it, that's the list?
Right. We've heard that Republicans are all about fiscal responsibility, right? Which tends to just be not putting dollars towards something. But if you invest in our community and residents, you get a greater return on your dollar. That's fiscal responsibility. Putting $1 into like broadband expansion, you get, I don't know, $5 back in what it, how it helps our economies and our communities and our residents. So it makes a lot of sense to be investing in our people for that return. Not only, I mean, if you want to look at just the dollar wise aspect of it, it makes a lot of sense for fiscal responsibility. But think of how we help our residents then and can bring people here and keep our kids here after they graduate from college or from high school even. A lot of them are leaving, and we need to have that brain trust stay in Wisconsin for us to remain a viable state that continues to grow. And broadband expansion is one piece of that we really need to catch up with the rest of the country.
Well, it certainly seems another way of looking at it is that President Joe Biden is suddenly their new best friend, that they're relying on him. Now, this is somebody they've criticized him in the past for spending bills, but now seem very content to let him be their patron, essentially, and do some of the heavy lifting for them. It certainly seems like an odd way to criticize the president is to say, we don't like what you're doing, but by the way, we'll take it all and you know, contribute nothing in return.
Right. If only we could do that with expansion of Badger Care, medical assistance, right? Let's take those dollars too.
Hey, you are onto something here. That's the next way for them to spite Joe Biden is we're going to take your Medicaid money. Well, look at the my goodness, Melissa, what inconsistency you just pointed out on how the Republicans handle quote unquote fiscal conservatism.
Yes. Yeah. It makes no sense. It is a head scratcher. I don't get it. We need to be investing in our communities. And that's the problem that we've had these past 12 years under Republican majority, is that we haven't been investing in our communities and we've been starving them. Broadband access is something that is not partisan, right? Like we all agree that people need to have access to the internet. It makes sense for businesses that they need employees. A lot of work can be done from home. They need to be able to access their emails too from home. So having access to the internet at your house helps businesses to keep employees too. In Dane County, I'm on the county board, and we formed the Dane County Broadband Task Force, which we looked at this issue to help expand broadband in Dane County. And we heard from people saying that they're 5 miles from the Capitol and can see the building, but don't have access to the internet here in Dane County. And it's affected their property values and their ability to get a job because they have to have a certain level of internet access to be able to log in to the business system or call people from their homes for their job. It's a big issue that if a representative was all about businesses, that they would be scrambling to get dollars for expansion of broadband throughout our state, I think.
But instead, it's so much easier just to say no and to cut things, especially in government. And this is a bit off topic, but related in that, you know, the assembly took it up the other day, and that is about professional licensing. And there is a backlog at an agency called DSPS that issues professional licensing. And this is a department that has a surplus. The department itself has a surplus, but needs to go to the legislature and say pretty please before they can spend a penny of it. The legislature is not letting them spend any of that surplus, and as a result is able to continue to say, you know, use that logic of, oh, government doesn't work. Well, yeah, because you're starving them of the resources to make those investments, including in their technology infrastructure. The whole thing, again, just reeks of a self-fulfilling prophecy when it comes to investing in government.
Yes, you're right. Like, it's so frustrating. And that pot of money at DSPS is being used for other things then too. Be like, oh, you have this whole pot of money. We'll just use some of it for this instead of helping you to process licenses so that people can get to work in our state. It is frustrating.
Well, it makes the case as to why, when it came to American Rescue Plan dollars, which governors were given the control over, and the Republicans in the legislature tried so hard to wrest that control away, when, you know, there was really no level of trust as to what Republicans would have done with it, except maybe to, you know, apply it towards tax cuts. And so they continue to make the case of something that I say all the time, is those who hate government the most should be trusted the least to treat it responsibly. State Representative Melissa Ratcliffe of Cottage Grove, it was a pleasure talking with you. Thanks so much for updating us on the broadband venture, and hope you have a good start to the weekend.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're very welcome. All right, when we come back, Mark Jacob will join us quite a week over at CNN. We'll talk about the article that led to the turmoil and much more coming up after this break. You're up north. Every Friday we do a little Jimmy Buffett. We mentioned earlier, this is the anniversary of his book, Pirate Looks at 50. Pirate Looks at 40. Coming up on Monday, my colleague from Up North News, Sherita Booker, always compiles the most read, most viewed, most clicked on stories on Up North News social media. So we'll have that from her on Monday. And then, of course, on Tuesday, my colleague Christina Lurie has The Uplift, a review of some of the more positive stories from our newsletter. And you can sign up for that at upnorthnewswi.com. Mark Jacob joins us now, former editor at the Chicago Tribune and the Chicago Sun-Times, author. Some days we go, well, it's kind of a grab bag of things to talk about. There's no grab bag here. There are three huge topics that we have to get into. And I thought for, you know, 6 days now, it was going to be all about CNN and the big changes there. And then you have a former president with federal charges actually filed against him that we'll get into first. Mark, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great.
All right. So The indictments came down, federal charges against a sitting president. You watched, I'm sure, a lot of the coverage of it. And there appears to have been a slight difference in coverage with how many media sites covered it versus the right-wing media sites. It's almost like they were looking at two different cases.
Yeah, it's you know, I don't really watch Fox News very much. I find it bad for my, you know, mental health. And also, it just drives me nuts. So I don't watch it very much. But I said, you know, to last night, I thought, well, let's see what they're talking about. And you know, it's Hillary, it's Hunter Biden's laptop, it's weaponization. It's the one thing, Pat, that they seem to be very unconcerned about was whether Trump committed the crime or not, mm-hmm. whether he did those crimes. They didn't seem to be any examination of that. It was all, although this is, you know, happening while there's some official report we haven't seen or that says that Biden might have done something terrible. I mean, I understand Fox News is going to be Fox News. And frankly, I have no problem with conservative media. That's, you know, fine. They should just go do it. But if they pay attention to facts, at least. But Fox News was just all in on complete propaganda, complete don't listen to anything that federal prosecutors are saying. Don't even consider that this could possibly be a crime. You know, it's total cult propaganda thinking. And it was crazy. I mean, I lost count of the times that Hillary Clinton's name came up, you know.
Good here. Thing it wasn't a drinking game.
Yeah, no, really. It was like Hillary, Hunter Biden, Hillary, Hunter Biden, you know, And unfortunately, I'm not sure that audience is savvy enough to understand what's being done to them. Unfortunately, I wish they were. I mean, wouldn't you think, wait, why are they talking about this instead of the fact that the former president just got federally indicted? Shouldn't they be talking about that?
Well, especially as you put it so well, you know, on social media, you're old enough to remember when most Republicans thought it was wrong to steal classified documents. And again, it doesn't fit the other shoe test. And we know that because of everything they said about Hillary Clinton in 2016.
Right. Which was clearly not as bad as this. Clearly not.
Yeah.
No, but bad. I mean, I'm not saying that was perfect. You know, that's another thing. Also, if Hunter Biden did something wrong, charge him with a crime. That's fine. I have no problem with that. This is not, that's the difference here. What you're seeing in modern times with the Republicans and the Democrats is, you know, a Democrat like Andrew Cuomo, for example, does something wrong. The Democrats try to drum him out. The Republicans, you know, lock down and say, no, he's our cult leader. We can't, you know, even consider that he might have done something wrong.
So we'll continue to follow this case and the coverage, but both you and I will probably watch a little less of it on right-wing media just because it's gotten so ungodly predictable. Let's turn our attention now to CNN. For those folks that weren't following, look, a little background. First, obviously, as journalists, we love to talk about journalism and newsrooms, and this might strike folks as inside baseball, but I promise you it's not, because when you talk about the change at the top at CNN, you're also talking about the way that they convey news to you and what it is that they consider to be journalism. And that's a very real topic in the Trump era. So, Mark, I don't mean to put all of this on you, but let's kind of try to go back to square one. Over the weekend, an article came out in The Atlantic from the great Tim Alberta, who had amazing access to a guy named Chris Licht, who was the CEO of CNN. Can you tell folks first just a little bit of just how big a bombshell this massive article was?
All right. So, you know, last year, CNN, you know, changed kind of their direction and even declared that they were going to, you know, stop. They were going to try to be more centrist and more moderate. And that was seemed to be a signal that they were going to be more accepting of right-wing, you know, lies. And that alarmed some people. So CNN, and they also got rid of some really good people like John Harwood and Brian Stelter, and so who had been very critical of Trump. So that sent a signal that, that CNN is tacking toward the right. So you had this article from Tim Alberta in The Atlantic that is, you know, years worth of him talking to Chris Licht, the CEO. And Licht, you know, it makes it clear that he's not popular in the newsroom, and that he is really trying to, he's really critical of the way CNN has operated before when they were really putting a hard line on Trump and his lies. And Pat, one of the things that journalism is supposed to do is fact check, is identify, you know, politicians when they lie and correct them. That's a key function. So the idea that this was a bad thing or that this, you know, made you prejudiced is ridiculous. And one quote that really got me in that article was Licht saying, well, I think that Trump changed the rules of the game and some of the journalists put on the jersey. In other words, they became a member of the opposing team. And that really bothered me, because it's not that journalists would like join the Democratic Party or anything. It's that part of what journalism is supposed to do is find the truth, figure out the facts, and they're in the truth game. And if they're not putting on a truth jersey, then what are they doing? And so they are players in a game in a way, because they are advocating for the truth and defending their audience from being lied to, as politicians try to do. That's a key function. And for Licht to think that CNN's own job, only job, is to put politicians on the air and let them talk is ridiculous. That's what I call platforming versus journalism.
To continue the analogy, if any jersey was being put on, it would be that of a referee. And yeah, a referee is going to blow the whistle many more times than usual, right, if one of the teams is cheating more often than usual. Though I would argue, rather than a referee on the field, they're more of a rules analyst in the booth and mm-hmm. should be calling it from there. But instead, they're bringing in like retired players into the booth, you know, and saying, hey, tell me about how great your team is, rather than, again, paying attention to the actual game going on. So anyway, the article drops. Chris Licht eventually, you know, is shown the door. But of course, the concern goes on, and this is why you wrote this article for Courier Newsroom called CNN's Platforming Problem, is will they get back to journalism rather than platforming, giving all these people a platform to spew things and not either fact check it or put it into perspective, which is what journalism should be all about.
Right. And yet it's journalism should be value added. It's not supposed to be just quote what everyone says and move on. It's supposed to be put in context, fact check, bring history into it, bring statistics into it, you know, bring expertise. And the thing with CNN, the thing that I believe about CNN is that Licht is the fall guy. One of their main, the main owners of the parent company of CNN is John Malone, who gave $250,000 to Trump's inaugural fund. And this guy named David Zaslav, who's the CEO of Warner Brothers Discovery, the parent company. And I think those are the two guys who have been pushing this. And Licht was just doing what they wanted, and he's the fall guy now. And so I don't expect CNN to change. And the sad thing, Pat, is that CNN still does good things. And they've broken a lot of scoops on the on the Trump investigation. Just this morning, they say they have a transcript of what Trump said in that tape when he admitted that he did not have the ability to declassify a document that he had.
And that's what you have. That's what you have in a newsroom. Is you have people. They're still doing the work. Right. They're doing the work of journalism, but it is the show business aspect of it that gets in the way. Right. And when they cover so much of it, and they cover so many people doing so many bad things, as you note rightly in your column, Nikki Haley did a town hall over the weekend, presidential candidate, and as you write, on the line scale, she registered a 5 rather than a 10, but still a 5 on the line scale should be a bad thing. But you note that a New York Times reporter went on to praise Nikki Haley as well-versed on policy issues and showed a reasoned manner. I mean, that's what we've done to the bar of expectations from a journalism standpoint.
Right, exactly. And that same article in the New York Times said that Jake Tapper didn't see any need to fact check her. Well, that didn't mean that she didn't lie. She did. She said crazy stuff. She blamed young trans athletes for causing the rise in suicidal thoughts among teenage girls based on nothing, based on no factual evidence, no research, anything. Just another attempt to slam trans people for no reason other than political benefit. She also, Nikki Haley, you know, she also like was blaming the news media for bringing up the race issue with the massacre at that church in Charleston. The guy who did the shooting was a white supremacist, mm-hmm. and all the victims were black. I think there was a race issue involved in here. And so there are plenty of reasons to push back on Nikki Haley. And if you didn't, you weren't doing journalism, you were doing platforming.
Let's take a sec and talk about the U.S. Supreme Court decision yesterday. Very much a surprise. People thought that the final nail in the coffin might be delivered to the Voting Rights Act. And yet maps are going to have to be redrawn in Alabama as a result of yesterday's surprise decision. Surprise because Justices Brett Kavanaugh and Chief Justice John Roberts joined in with the majority on essentially upholding the Voting Rights Act. And that's, you know, we can certainly get into the details of the decision, but I want to look at it more from, again, almost a messaging standpoint. Do we think it's a case that Roberts and Kavanaugh saw the credibility of the court, you know, how they've basically thrown it out the window, and that this was almost more of a face-saving measure than a decision actually made on the facts of the case? Or am I reading too much into it?
You never know what happens behind closed doors in the Supreme Court, but I thought the same thing. I thought I really expected it to go against the voting rights because the Supreme Court has done so many terrible things lately and is so compromised. By the way, Clarence Thomas, the most compromised member of the Supreme Court, wrote the dissenting opinion in that case yesterday.
And I read somewhere it was 50 pages long. So
he's very worried that black people are going to have voting power. You know, so I think it might have been a makeup call or I mean, they've got to see what's happening. They've got to see that the majority of American people are really concerned with the Supreme Court not doing what the people want, and that it's been taken over and really paid off by right wing rich people. And so this is a big concern. Now, the thing about the gerrymandering is a complicated thing, you know, and you're certainly seeing it in Wisconsin. You know, you really can draw maps to where one side gets way more advantage than the other, even when the race is close. You've seen that in your state for sure. And in Alabama, they only, which has a very large black population, they only had one seat in the U.S. House. that was held by a black person. And so they challenged the redistricting based on that. And the problem is that you're allowed to gerrymander, according to the Supreme Court, you're allowed to gerrymander for political reasons, but you're not allowed to gerrymander if it causes racial discrimination. And so the challenge was that you were gerrymandering in this case just to dilute the political power of black people. And they won. And so Alabama's is going to have to redraw things, and there'll probably be another black member of Congress from Alabama because of it.
And really, these gerrymandered maps make the difference as to why Republicans have a majority. So that might be right on the way out. Mark Jacob, thank you so much. As long as we had a lot of big things to cover, we'll see if we can't have a quieter week next week. Have a great weekend.
Talk to you then.
All right. When we come back, Todd Alba of the conveniently named Todd Alba Show will join us to talk about his new gigs. He's had a change of address, moved to the PM side of the clock. More after this. You're up north. Really, Aaron? This is what you came up with to introduce Todd Alba? Why are you sucking up to Todd Alba? He doesn't need that.
I thought it would be funny.
I'll take it.
I know. Look, he's Todd Alba's now a big deal. He's on weekday afternoons. He's moved to afternoons 1 to 3 on the Civic Media Radio Network. This message authorized and paid for by the Todd Alba Show. He is, and he's doing, I got to tell you, for all the grief I give this guy, these are incredible shows you're doing. You had Tammy Baldwin and Mark Pocan on the other day talking about Pride Month and, you know, being LGBTQ politicians, basically, first at the local level and beyond. You made the point to a state senator about, once again, maybe saving the UW campus at Richland Center. You are no shrinking violet on this new afternoon show, sir.
Hey, look, you could have put a chimpanzee hosting Tammy Baldwin and Mark Pocan that would have sounded good. Okay. They're just that great. I mean, they're fantastic people. And I think the reason we wanted to have them come on is, well, talk about their accomplishments. But again, they're Wisconsinites who excelled in their field, reached the pinnacle of politics in the state of Wisconsin, doing it well, and they just happen to be gay. And I think that's a cool story that too oftentimes. And I got this idea, I think we talked about it during Black History Month. I asked a Gen Zer, and I said, what should a white middle-aged guy like me be talking about during Black History Month? And he said, don't spend so much time on the struggles. Like, we get it. But what we don't hear are the success stories. And I thought that was really insightful from a Gen Zer. And so I thought, well, that's cool, kind of a cool way to approach Pride Month as well. Certainly, we don't want to forget the struggles and the history that came before. But I think it's also important to spend time on talking about successful people like Tammy and Mark Pocan, who just happen to be gay.
All right. I'm done sucking up to you on your show. It's great. 1 to 3.
By the way, quickly, I've taken this grief for 6 months good-naturedly. But Pat Kreitlow has a brand new show in addition to Up North News Radio, which conveniently is going to be called The Pat Kreitlow Show.
You waited so long for that.
As Mel Sharples once said to Vera, stow it, Kreitlow.
Nice. Nice. Nobody else got that Alice reference but you and me. All right, let's put Aaron to work here because we still have 2 Brewers tickets to give away. And last time around, because it's the anniversary for the birthday of Cole Porter, we listed a few songs and said, which one is not the Cole Porter song? So again, let me get that studio line up there, 844-967-2789. First person through that tells us which of these is not a Cole Porter song. Here is song number 1.
I've got you under my skin.
All right. Now, here is song number 2.
The skies are clear, and if you want to go walking, dear, it's delightful, it's delicious, it's lovely.
Okay, so there we've got Ethel Merman, we had Frank Sinatra, and then here's song number 3. One through the correct answer. Which of these is not the Cole Porter song? I've got you under my skin. It's the lovely. Don't fear the reaper. One of these It's one of these is not a Cole Porter song. And if you are the first one through at 844-967-2789, you get two outstanding tickets to the Brewers game tomorrow afternoon against the Oakland A's. Don't give it away there, Todd, but do you think you might know the answer?
I do, because my last year at, oddly enough, UW Richland, our choral director, James Agard, wrote an entire show for our spring concert around me, and it was all featuring Cole Porter songs. It was this whole thing. At the time, that I was obsessed with Republicanism and Ronald Reagan, and I had this dream that these people were all going to, and it featured Cole Porter songs.
What do you mean it was all featured around you? Were you singing, dance? Are you a one-man show?
No, it was a whole chorus. But I just had I was kind of the butt of the joke, which I always enjoy being the butt of the joke. And okay. So the whole chorus, we'd sing these songs.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. I'm just trying to imagine that, you know, Todd Alba, the one-man play, you know, appearing, you know.
The show opened with me in bed with a picture of Ronald Reagan on the end of my bed, kind of like Alex P. Keaton.
Oh, my God. This just went in a different direction altogether. By the way, for those of you who thought the question was too easy and that you shouldn't bother calling in, yeah, you should, because those tickets are still available. Which song is not the Cole Porter song? I've got you under my skin. It's the lovely Don't Fear the Reaper, 844-967-2789. If they're not given away in the next 3 minutes here, then some other show gets to give them away. And I promise you, their questions are harder than mine. So this is it. This is as easy as it's going to get. Mr. Alba, what do you have happening on your show today or next week? What do you want to highlight?
The wonderful and talented Pat Kreitlow is going to stop by in hour number two, and we're going to talk to our friend Trigby Olson, which is going to kick off our more serious hour. As we're going to be doing a special this afternoon from 2 until 3 on the Trump criminal indictment. We have our colleague Matt Flynn, who's an attorney, joining us in the first 15 minutes. Also, Charles Franklin from the Marquette Law School poll, talking about the context, what this may mean in the upcoming elections. And Trigby Olson from the Lincoln Project, as always, usually on a Wednesday, but today on a Friday, talking about the Republican implications.
I'm looking forward to that. I'm hoping to join you. I'm making the drive out to Green Bay, where I'm going to be covering the state Democratic convention. Should be getting there at about that time. So I will join you breathlessly at that point and be able to tell you, give you an inside report from the convention.
Wait, is there a civic media table?
There may be. I know Crudy's had, although Crudy, rather than, you know, pony up for a table, often just wanders around. And that's what I usually do, is I just wander and I conduct interviews.
I was told that we were going to try to get a booth or a table at the GOP convention, La Crosse,
which is where you should be. Yes.
And I've been asked to go there as a sacrificial lamb. Oh. I was not asked to go to the Democratic convention where I might be, you know, welcomed.
I got you covered. I will walk around and ask people, you know, who's Todd Alba, and I will share the answers. Ryan from Madison, if you care to tell us on the air, of I Got You Under My Skin, It's the Lovely and Don't Fear the Reaper. Ryan, for Brewers tickets, which one is not the Cole Porter song?
Don't Fear the Reaper, and I Gotta Have More Cowbell.
There we go. See? Honest to God, Ryan, if I had four tickets, I would give them to you just for that answer. But I only have two. Enjoy the game. Thank you, Ryan, for calling in. Hope you have a great day.
Thank you very much.
More cowbell from Ryan.
That's great.
Answer of the day. That's perfect.
It is the answer of the day. That's fantastic.
I know. You got any? Well, since you're not doing the convention, any other big weekend plan besides, I don't know, putting some insulation tile in your closet there so that you don't have such an echo to your sound?
Is it pretty echoey? Sorry. Well, I'm getting ready to move. So I'm moving in a couple of weeks. So things are not the way they usually are.
Like you're moving your residence?
Yeah, hold my apartment. So.
Wow. Is that what happens when you get afternoons? You get the big money that you can pay higher rent?
Oh, no, not at all.
Not at all.
I'm actually downsizing, if you want to know the truth.
Oh, see, now that I don't think I want to get into. So, we'll save that for another time.
Well,
I'll talk to you this afternoon, though.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks,
all right, let's continue it then. All right, that's it for today. Coming up on Monday, Senator Kelda Royce will join me. You can follow me at upnorthnewswi.com or Pat Kreitlow Up North on Facebook. Hope you have a great weekend, and we will see you on Monday.